Didn't get a bulletin today. There's actually more people here today than we had planned for, but we're grateful all of you are here. And after the message today, we'll continue with the creed, which you can find on page 358 in the Book of Common Prayer, the Red Prayer Book, so follow along in there for the rest of the service. And welcome here on this Memorial Day weekend. Jason Tuskes was a 17-year-old honor student. He was close to his mother, his wheelchair-bound father, and his younger brother. And Jason was also an expert swimmer who loved to scuba dive. He left home on a Tuesday morning to explore an underwater cave near his home in Central Florida. His plan was to be home in time to celebrate his mother's birthday. Jason became lost in the cave. Then in his panic, he got wedged in a narrow passageway. When he realized he was trapped, he shed his yellow metal air tank and took out his diver's knife. With the tank as his tablet and knife as his pen, he wrote one last message to his family. "I love you, Mom, Dad, and Christian." Then he ran out of air and drowned. A dying message, something communicated in the last few seconds of life, cannot be ignored. God's final words to us are also etched on a Roman cross, written in the blood and screamed to be heard. And they say quite simply to us and to all of humanity throughout time, "I love you." You know, as we gather here this Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day tomorrow, obviously, it's an invitation to remember. It's an invitation to remember those who have passed on before us, and even to remember what we've been going through over these past few weeks, reminding us of our own mortality and how sobering that has been for all of us. And the story I shared with you today about Jason, a true story, reminds us that the people who love us touch us very deeply. In fact, Jason's family kept that tank, and they have it on display in their home. And it's a loving remembrance of him. And what his final thoughts were, the final things that he did with his last few seconds of life, remembering them and sharing his great love for them. And you know, that's another reason why we keep Jesus' words, the Bible. If you will, the word is God's love letter to us. They remind us of God's great love for us from the beginning of time, in the Old Testament, all the way up into the New Testament, and celebrating our Lord's death on the cross. They are love letters, literally, to be read and to be treasured. Now, I realize that some of you have already told me there's certain parts of these love letters that you'd read once, but you're not going to read them again, like Leviticus or Numbers. And that's okay. But there's other parts of the love letters that you go to that you keep going back to, and I encourage you to do so. Today, we are reminded in our lessons about the Lord's great love for us. We're reminded in the epistle today about not to be surprised by the fiery ordeal that has overtaken us, and to be encouraged in the midst of that the Lord is with us through all things. And again, I can't think of more apt words than for what we've been through over the past few weeks and the season of life that we're in. And what the Lord wants us to remember is that even in the midst of our trials and suffering and struggles that each one of us go through, his love for us remains steadfast and true. A lot of times in the midst of our struggles and our trials, we kind of sometimes get angry at God. And we wonder why God allows these certain things to happen in our lives. I certainly have been there myself. And the thing I think the word encourages us to do is remember that whatever we might be going through, that the Lord's love for us remains. We might wonder how he can love us in allowing certain things to happen, but ultimately that's where our faith comes in, that ultimately we believe God has our lives and is with us. John 15:9 reminds us to remain in his love, to stay with him in an unbroken fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and to treasure that. And we remain in Jesus' love by keeping his commandments. Love each other as I have loved you. And you know, there's different types of love that all of us have experienced. Greater love, a sacrifice, laying down one's life for your friends. That's what Jesus is talking about. And it's manifested in different ways, maybe in patience, maybe in forgiveness, maybe in truth-telling. Love can sometimes be tough. It can also be merciful, waiting, kind, or joyful, sharing, having acceptance of varying degrees in friendship, and caring for one another. You know, the reality about love as we look at it in the scriptures, that love can take many different forms. And many times in our life, we think of love in a very certain way. And if someone is not acting in this certain way, then we automatically judge them and say that they're not loving. We may even do that in relationship to people that are close to us and maybe say something to us that's kind of difficult to hear. And again, that could be, I think, viewed as tough love. Jesus obviously said some very wonderful and comforting and merciful things to his friends. One moment he was commending Peter because he recognized when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus commended him for that. He said, "You know what? God has revealed this to you." And yet a little bit later on in the journey between Peter and Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Those would be pretty rough words from Jesus to any one of us. And they were for Peter. And when Peter denied him three times and then wept later on, and then when Jesus had risen from the dead and saw him again, three times he asked him, "Do you love me?" So again, our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with one another in love has its ups and downs. That's part of what love is. That's part of being in relationship. And so let's be honest about that and realize that love can take many different forms. And it's important that we be open to that and have, may I say, the courage to love. Because love at times is courageous. It's easy to love when everything's going smooth. It's difficult to love when things are challenging and it's difficult. But both of those situations require a love that is courageous and strong and deepening. Brené Manning writes, "The unity of a community is unintelligible or at least coldly impersonal without the strong living bonds of deep personal friendships." So again, this is part of the invitation in our love with one another and growing together. Jan actually the other day was with one of her girlfriends that she's known since grade school? High school. They've known each other for 50 years and they just got together yesterday. Jan was supposed to be home at 4 o'clock yesterday. As soon as she told me, I knew that wasn't going to happen. She got home around 7 o'clock last night. And you know, she was with her great friend, Carol. And you know what? It was great. It was wonderful. They were just enjoying each other's time. I'm surprised you even got home last night. I just want to be honest. I'm surprised you even got here. All right, I just want to say that. Sure, her mouth is sore from talking so much. Now, for Janet, that's a lot of talking. And so, you know what? The reality is that these deep friendships, even the friendship that a Carol and a Janet have, has stood the test of time. But like any close relationship, it has its ups and downs. And, you know, we need to embrace that and own that and actually even celebrate that. Loving friendships affect us and others forever. And again, Jesus says to his disciples toward the end of his time with them on earth, "I call you friends." And that's one of the things I think you and I need to hear from the Lord today. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the Almighty. He is worthy of worship and awe and reverence. But he is also your friend. And maybe some of us, as good Episcopalians and Catholics, have never ever even thought of God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit as a friend. It's a big shift for you to even begin to think about that. And I invite you to begin to make that shift because that's the closeness that our Lord shares about. There were two friends, close friends, who were inseparable during World War I. They enlisted together, they trained together, and they fought beside each other in the trenches. During an attack, one of the men was critically injured in a field of barbed wire, and he was unable to crawl back to the foxhole. There was withering enemy crossfire, and it was suicide to try and go get him. His friend was about to go to him when his sergeant yanked him back and ordered him not to go. When the officer turned his back, the man instantly went to his friend. A few minutes later, he staggered back, carrying his friend, who was dead. The sergeant blurted out, "What a waste! He's dead and you're dying. It just wasn't worth it." With almost his last breath, the dying man replied, "Oh, yes, it was, Sarge. When I got to him, the only thing he said was, 'I knew you'd come, Jim.'" A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. During this Memorial Day weekend, and especially tomorrow, I invite you along with me to make a journey to a cemetery or a memorial somewhere. Will you remember those who gave their life for you? Some of them may have known you. Others have never met you. And yet they paid the ultimate price for you and me that we would enjoy the freedoms and the blessings that we have in this land to this day. For their lives and for their sacrifice, we give thanks. Amen.